truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Today is Monday. Monday means we are joined from our friend from across the pond, Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick, and it's good to be back. I always like a start to the week on National Bugle Radio.
Yes, and we like it too. Well, we've had a very busy weekend. What with high school yearbook photographs. I seem to remember high school yearbooks or high school days being a big deal last summer with the whole Brett Kavanaugh thing. This actually is not a high school yearbook, it's a medical school yearbook, but the governor of Virginia, who had just been in the news for defending a controversial, to say the least, late-term abortion law, and he seemed to be actually defending what could be described as infanticide, which was okay, and the governor of New York had done the same thing, in fact celebrated it with lighting up government buildings with pink lights or something strange like that. But then it came out a day later that in his 1984 medical school yearbook that there was a picture of a guy dressed in blackface standing next to a guy, presumably a guy, in KKK robe and hood. There was no context given to the picture. It didn't say who was whom, but it was on this governor, what's his name, Northrop or something. It was on his page, so one might think that he was one of them. I don't know if they had been at a talent show singing I Got You Babe or something like that. If you know, do you know the Sonny and Cher song, I Got You Babe?
I certainly do.
So that would have been funny. I don't know what the context was, but that's an outrage that in 1984, 35 years ago, that a young man might have dressed up in either blackface or a hood, KKK hood, for whatever reason. So, support for infanticide, that's what it seems like. That's okay, but a 35-year-old picture. So there's all these calls for him to resign. Is that making news in the UK?
Well, I've certainly heard about it, and I'm actually just compiling a video for this week, actually, about this or these increasing calls and legalization of infanticide, and the idea that amongst these left-wingers or these liberals, whatever you want to term them, they are constantly pushing the envelope. And we talk about the slippery slope, and these people claim the slippery slope's a fallacy. They claim that that's just a conspiracy theory that we dream up, that all they're looking for are this list of very, very reasonable calls that are going to improve the lives of women, make things fairer, make things safer. And they tend to work on they're either fallacies themselves or they're extreme cases. So they will talk about women who were taken down to back street or back alleys or back street clinics to have abortions with coat hangers, and they bled to death. Now, I'm not really sure how many cases there have been of women who've been taken to backstreet abortionists and have bled to death after having their insides ripped out with a coat hanger. But what we do have here is a definite precedent that has been set, which will kill hundreds of thousands, millions of babies who are actual fully functioning human beings. Now, I know there's a debate of when does a fetus become a baby? When is it actually more than a group of cells? When is it actually what you would consider a human being? But to me, that debate might have a grey area. Is it 6 weeks? Is it 8 weeks? Is it 12 weeks? Is it 4 weeks? I don't know, and I'm not debating that now. But I think one thing we can all agree on is that at 9 months, when a baby could be removed from the womb and can live, and when I say live, it can breathe, it can feed, it can cry, it can move, and it can live independently of its mother. This isn't an argument about when does it have a heartbeat, when does it have a central nervous system, when are its little hands formed. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a baby that could be removed from its mother's womb and can live a functional life completely separate from the mother. It could be taken away by somebody else. It could be fed on a milk formula. It doesn't require being in its mother's womb anymore. It doesn't require being in an incubator. It's not a premature child. It is a child ready to be delivered and to grow into an adult human being. And we're talking about killing them. This isn't a case of abortion anymore. This is a case of infanticide or child sacrifice, if you like. And I just want to point out and make this very clear, go on the record and say that the people doing this are monsters. The people doing this are child killers. And all those who work in these clinics where 9-month-old children are being taken from their parents, their mother's womb, to be essentially put down, to be killed, and are happy to stand there as a crying, healthy baby lies on a metal slab and is either injected with something or left to die. I don't know how they'll do this. Anyone partaking in that of free will is a monster. They are a child killer, and we should be keeping lists of these people. And these people should be tried for murder when we get to power. Because this is the most ghoulish, the most sickening, the most stomach-churning thing you could ever think of. And the people who are celebrating this, the people who are actively celebrating this monstrous act, are vile. Mm-hmm. I often hear Christians refer to these people as satanic, as Luciferian, as essentially devil worshippers. And I've got to agree with them, because anyone who can stand there and watch a newborn baby die on a metal slab or actively kill a newborn baby on a metal slab, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty much the definition of evil.
Mm-hmm. So I've seen this debated on Tucker's show. He had 2 nights worth devoted to this, Thursday and Friday, and he had on a woman named Monica Klein, obviously a pretty obviously a member of the tribe, who just went talking points the whole time.
I saw that she couldn't answer a word.
Couldn't answer
please.
A word.
He wanted to say to her, please just give us the rationale for this. And all she could say is, Trump's trying to take away my rights. They're trying to take away my freedom, my body, my choice. But she couldn't justify a word of it.
Now,
all she could do is utter. And this is why we call them NPCs. This is why we call them non-playable characters. Because when you're playing a computer game and you walk up to one of these NPCs, it has 3 or 4 lines of text. And that's all it can say, because that's all it's been programmed with. It can't have dialogue with you. It can't have a conversation. It can't, you know, if you type something in like, how do you feel today? Would you like a slice of blueberry pie? All it can say is, hello, have you seen the mist coming over the mountains?
Okay.
Hello, looks like it might be rain today. It can't answer.
That enlightens me as to that whole NPC meme. I understand it better now.
Well, this is an NPC. This is a living embodiment of the NPC meme. This was a woman, one of the tribe, one of them again, who comes on, speaks to Tucker Carlson, and every question he asks, she comes out with the pre-programmed, non-playable character response. All she can do is repeat the same 3 or 4 lines of dialogue. He could have turned around and asked her, you know, so what are you having for tea tonight? Trump is taking away the reproductive rights of women.
So I really get that whole NPC meme now in a way I didn't before. Now, the next night, he had on a different woman who was actually trying, not exactly answer questions, but she wasn't just if she was putting out talking points, they were more sophisticated talking points, and he Tucker appreciated her more. I'm not sure if you saw it, but what she was trying to say is, well, the point of the law, or the intent of it, is, you know, you, let's just say you have somebody very late term in the pregnancy, finds out that the baby has some sort of condition that is going to lead to a short and miserable life for that child, and so that's that. She put that case forward, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go read the law. Now, I'm a layman. I'm not a lawyer. I do, you know, I've done a lot of policy analysis, and from time to time I do read through legislation. I don't necessarily have the last word in terms of interpreting it. But I read the both the New York law that's now in effect and the Virginia law that was the controversy and has been voted down. And the fact of the matter is that neither of these laws would allow for the termination of a pregnancy because the baby that was going to be produced would be severely disabled and have a short life expectancy. They both use the term fetal viability. Now, fetal viability, as far as I can tell, refers to the ability to have beating heart or breathing or involuntary muscle movements outside of the womb. And so a severely disabled child, one maybe with Tay-Sachs, which is a common, genetic disorder that is actually pretty specific to Ashkenazi Jews and leads to a baby being born that has a pretty miserable existence because there's something going on with the brain that can't develop. It's I don't know exactly what it is, and they almost always die within 2 years. But, you know, if a baby was going to be born with a disorder like that, these laws would not legalize the abortion at any stage based on that. But what these laws do, and the Virginia laws is very specific about this, is it loosens the definitions and the procedures for saying that a woman's health, and the Virginia law specifies, you know, physical and mental health, so it can just be mental health, would be impacted. And the Virginia legislation, the current Virginia law says the mental health would have to be impacted severely. And I think the other adjective was irrevocably. And this, it removes the severe, it doesn't have to be, the impact doesn't have to be severe anymore. It doesn't have to be irrevocable anymore. And then also in terms of procedure, the current Virginia law, in addition to requiring the woman to view an ultrasound of the fetus before making the decision, which is obvious. I mean, it's obvious why that's there. That is there to try to get women to reconsider having the abortion. But then also, the current law says that two doctors have to agree that this would be adverse, that this would severely impact the woman's health. Two doctors, in addition to whoever's doing the procedure. The proposed change would remove the requirement for the two doctors. And of course, the person who is conducting the procedure doesn't have to be a doctor. It can be anyone certified. It could be a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. So what the Virginia law does, the example that was given, the examples that you hear of these women who are suddenly told that their baby is going to be suffering after birth and is not going to live long anyway, which, you know, you might be a bit more of a sympathetic case, but no, it doesn't pertain to that. What it does is it makes the definition of impact of a woman's health so loose and vague that anybody just saying, yeah, I might get depressed, it might be hard, there might be a lot of stress because I don't have money, or a lot of stress because of this or that, and that would be the enough of a reason. So, one question I have is, like, these people who come on, whether they're NPCs or whatever, do they even understand what they're talking about? Do they care what they're talking about? Are they, you know, there was a case, one last thing I'll say, there was a case a few years ago in South Dakota where the South Dakota state legislature was trying to prevent gay marriage, and they came up with a law that would have prevented gay marriage, but actually, on careful reading, would have prevented all marriage, and they had to withdraw the law. You know, I think there's a mixture of people. I think there's some very, very malevolent people, and then I think there's some people who may think this is the intent of the law, and have, you know, allow themselves to be blinded to the consequences, whether intended or unintended, of the law. But make no mistake, that the law really, I mean, I don't think it's any exaggeration to say it was an infanticide law upon the careful reading.
Well, I completely agree. And the reason why I agree, I'm not just agreeing because you've said it, but I want to put forward exactly why I think this. I look over these things very carefully, and I'm actually someone who understands that abortion in some cases, in some limited cases, is absolutely necessary. If you have a 12-year-old daughter and she falls victim to one of these Muslim rape gangs and she is sexually assaulted, she's abused, do you want her to have to carry that baby through to full term? No, you don't. I can see a case for that. If you have a baby and you find out that it's got some horrific disorder and it's only going to live for 7 or 8 months, and in that time it's going to be essentially in constant pain, not know where it is, and it will never ever know its mother, its father, it'll only know pain and suffering. I can understand that too. I can also understand other cases. I can understand cases of incest. We've covered cases of rape. And genuinely a threat to the mother's life. If you were married and you had 2 children already and you were looking forward to having your third, and the doctor said, look, I'm afraid, if your wife gives birth to this child, there is a 98% chance she will die and your other 2 children are going to be left without a mother. I can, again, completely understand that. These are moral dilemmas that are quite clearly things that people should have a right to choose about. But these are very, very narrow instances. And if you were making a law that worked, you would make the law equally narrow. You wouldn't make the law so it was so woolly worded, so open-ended, so easily interpretable in a number of different ways that the law could be used to allow and legalize infanticide, child sacrifice, because that is quite simply wrong. And that is why I think these laws are worded in that way, because they are worded in that way because these people are pushing an anything-goes society, a society where hedonism and materialism are the two things placed on a pedestal that we all worship. And any form of responsibility is seen as a negative. And ultimately, if you're going out, you're having promiscuous sex, if you're going out, you're sleeping around, if you want to live a life of hedonistic enjoyment, then childbirth or getting pregnant is a consequence of that. But people want a consequenceless life. And part of their selling of this horrific law is that women will have a get-out-of-jail-free card no matter what. But it actually goes a little bit deeper than that. But I believe we're coming up on the break.
Yeah, we are coming up on the break. And when we come back, I'm going to want to ask you what you think of the various motivations behind this. But we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we are back, and you got cut off before the break, and then I have some questions for you afterwards.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that in people's rush for hedonism, in people's rush for materialism, they are essentially allowing these monsters to push for things that are more and more sickening in order to extend people's pleasure, in order to extend the amount of hedonism people can enjoy. You know, they want to now go into their 40s without having children and just having so much fun. And part of that might be getting rid of your child. Part of that might be having an abortion. And that's how they're selling it to people. But how you can tell that we've really entered this sort of world of depravity and sickness is by looking at people's responses to these laws being passed. Now, the way I look at these responses to the laws being passed is in the way that people celebrate. And that's what really shocks me, because ultimately, you might think that people would look at these laws and they'd be very much like, you know what, this is a pretty grim thing we're discussing here. This is you know, it's pretty heavy, it's pretty sick, it's pretty grim. It's a horrible thing to be discussing. You know, we're talking about, you know, essentially destroying a child. We're talking about, you know, something that's a very, very heavy subject. I think we can both agree on that. Mm-hmm. It's a very heavy subject. And I think when we're discussing that, you would think that even if somebody got a victory on something like abortion, they would do so in a very somber way. It's not a victory you'd want to whoop and holler about. It's not like winning the Super Bowl, is it? It's not like you go out into the street and, smash open a keg and drench yourself.
You don't light up the state house with pink lights or whatever it was that Governor Cuomo in New York did.
Well, this is exactly my point. And this was very telling as well in Ireland when they repealed Article 8, which allowed abortion to essentially be legalized. And I was looking at that and I watched that quite closely. I watched that quite closely. As I was watching it, I noticed that the women were out in the street and they were partying. It was like some mad hen do. It was like Ireland had just won the World Cup. These women were out in the street going crazy. They were, letting off bangers and streamers and waving flags. And it was like a joyous moment to them. And I was totally lost at this. I was totally appalled because I was looking at it and thinking to myself, this is absolutely crazy. You've actually got a situation here where you have just legalized basically killing your own child, disposing of your own child. And that might be something that you need because your child might be heavily disabled. But that's not something to celebrate. I mean, my gosh, if I was married and, my wife was pregnant and we found out that our child had something really wrong with it, our child had something horribly wrong with it, and it was going to be a case where ultimately the best thing would be for us to have an abortion, we wouldn't be breaking out the champagne. That would be a horrific, heart-wrenching, horrible moment for us and for our family, to tell people, unfortunately, that the baby had a severe problem, it was going to be severely disabled, it would never have had a good quality of life. Unfortunately, we've had to go and my wife's had to have a termination. That wouldn't be something where I was cracking open the beers and playing loud music and dancing in the street. And the fact these women were show just how not only are we living, not only do we tolerate this sort of depravity and this sickness, but we've placed it on a pedestal and we're now worshipping what can be described as pure evil.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not somebody who's a big conspiracy person. I'm more of a small conspiracy person. I think there are small conspiracies here and there, but the idea of like one central group of people, one central secret government somewhere that's writing the script for everything that happens, that's certainly not me. If you look, I guess, at the history of abortion and the people who have run the pro-abortion nonprofits, they do tend to come heavily from the tribe. But then you look at the history of the demographics of abortion in the United States, and of course, most of the pregnancies in the United States are non-white. Most of the births at this point, a slight majority are non-white. The abortions are vastly non-white. And so, you kind of wonder sometimes if this the whole abortion movement hasn't just kind of taken on a life of its own in a lot of ways. And, we'll be going up to another break soon. But what I want to ask you about is, has it taken on a life of its own? Because this current controversy can't help but being really negative press for the pro-abortion people. What are they possibly getting out of this? Because, how many people would really be waiting until the 9 months? How many people would really want to carry their baby 9 months and then at the end say, maybe I don't want it? So that's what I want to ask you about when we get back from the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com.
www.extensionlife.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website. The patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
And we are back. So, Mark, I wanted to ask you, do you think that the pro-abortion movement has just kind of taken on a life of its own? And maybe this has something to do with the fact that they're willing to abort their governor over something as mild as a 35-year-old picture from a yearbook. They want to abort him, maybe because the cooler heads, the calmer heads in the movement are seeing what kind of backlash they're getting from the attention that's been concentrated on this very extremist bill. That, you know, why would they be pushing such a bill anyway? It's not as if, people could already have late term abortions. There were some pretty reasonable and mild restrictions on it. How hard would it be to get two doctors to agree on it? How hard would it be to, and if they wanted to strike down the sonogram or the ultrasound requirement, why not narrowly focus on that rather than opening it up so broadly? What do you think, Mark?
Well, I think you've made a very good point here that essentially what we're talking about here, it's very dark, but you would know in advance. This isn't something that you would just find out about 3 days before you gave birth. You know, people find out a long time before. There are numbers of tests, you have a number of scans. And if people, there is a reasonable statute of limitations on this, because we're not talking about a television. You know, I'm not going down to, the local electrical wholesalers with my wife and, you know, buying a television and saying, you know, let's go for the Samsung. No, she wants the Panasonic. Well, I want the Samsung. And we get the Samsung home and it's there for, you know, 28 days. But we've got 30 days to return it. And on the 28th day, I say, you know what? I am a bit sick of this TV. Maybe we're right. Let's get back down there and change it for the Panasonic before it's too late. And off we go down and we get the Panasonic and we exchange it, get rid of the Samsung. We're not talking about that. That's like consumer electronics. You know, there's 30 days on it. And it's understandable that some people might change their mind. You know, some people might decide that they don't want a particular television or piece of electrical equipment. So, you know, they decide that they're going to change it and you get 30 days. And you can do that in a very cool, calm and collected manner because you're talking about a piece of electronics. That's what you're talking about. You're not talking about a life. But here we're talking about a human life. We're talking about a baby. Now, if your child is going to be disabled, I feel for you, I really do. And as I said, if you choose in the early term to terminate that child, I understand why you would choose to do that. And I would let you choose to do that. But, and this is the huge but here, that's not like taking a TV back. That's not like swapping a piece of an electronic goods at the store. This is a life we're talking about. And you don't get to wait up to 9 months and then change your mind 2 days before it's born. You have to make a very serious decision before that child is more developed. Because you can't wait until 8 months and 29 days and go, you know what, Barry, I think I've changed my mind. I don't want little Thomas anymore. Mm-hmm. But you're giving birth tomorrow, Claire. Well, maybe so, but they'll just have to leave him on the slab at the side and wait till he starves, or maybe put a pillow over his head, or inject him, give him a lethal injection like you would a mass murderer. No, that's not what happens. Once you've gone full term, once you've gone past a certain level of development, and that child not only has a heartbeat, not only has a fully functioning nervous system, but can actually live unaided, outside of the womb, I'm sorry, but you've left it too late. And if you don't like your decision, well, there are adoption clinics. Because you're not returning a piece of electrical equipment. You're not talking about something that is basically an inanimate object. You are then talking about a living, breathing child. And if you have made a decision that you're not comfortable with, well, I'm sorry, this isn't something where if you've kept your receipt, you can just take it back. It is a human being.
Okay. Now, I have the text of the bill in front of me now, and I was slightly inaccurate, but not substantially inaccurate. The way the law currently reads is the physician and two consulting physicians certify and enter into hospital record of the woman that in their medical opinion, based on their best clinical judgment, the continuation of the pregnancy is likely to result in the death of the woman or substantially and irremediably impair the mental or physical health of the woman. And that's been modified to take away the two consulting physicians and to take away the words substantially and irremediably. I don't know. But at any rate, substantially has been, so it doesn't even have to be substantial anymore. It doesn't have to substantially impair the mental health of the woman. It simply has to impair it. Now, so they always come up with these scenarios. Well, what about somebody who just days before the pregnancy finds such and such out? Well, here's a scenario for you. Let's just say you have a woman, and women do sometimes get moody in pregnancies. And let's just say it's a woman who's not necessarily entirely stable, but, you know, the the husband's doing his best. You have a woman who gets mad at her husband and just decides, you know, on some hormone-induced fit of rage, that to get back at her husband, she's going to go down to the abortion clinic and, you know, maybe make up a story or whatever and abort the baby. Shouldn't she, I mean, shouldn't there, if she's married, shouldn't the husband, because one of that NPC lady, that Monica Klein, was no man should have any say in this whatsoever, right? You recall that. Shouldn't the man be able to say, in a day or two or three, she's going to calm down? So shouldn't you have a waiting period, a cooling off period or something?
Well, of course you'd have a cooling off period. And this is another one of these feminists' nonsensical points. You see, they say no man should have any say in this. Well, I'm sorry, but if the man has to pay for the child, the man was part and parcel of creating the child, I don't see why the man shouldn't have a say in this. I don't see why the man should have no say in this. I don't see that as a reasonable point. And what's more, not only don't I see it as a reasonable point, but if you have decided on having a child, if you have made the decision to have a child, often that's a decision that isn't made lightly. It's a decision that two make. And if two have made it and you have decided between you that that is the best course of action, that is what you want, you are both committed to having the child, you're both emotionally invested in having that child, I do not see why it is down to just one to not have the child. Mm. I honestly don't. I think that's bizarre. I don't understand why that would be the case. But again, these people are rabid feminists. Mm. They are rabid man-haters. This is not what they want. They don't want the man to be having a say. They don't want the man to have any input. But I'll tell you what they do want the man to do. They want the man to pay.
Yeah.
If the woman doesn't want to have the man in her life, well, he doesn't get a choice then, does he, Patrick? Oh, no. He's absolutely ruined, because she can say, well, actually, I do want the child. I want the child, but I don't want you. So we're having this child. We're having him, and you're paying for him, but you're not seeing him. And this, again, shows the deviousness and the evil of these feminist witches. Mm-hmm. And again, this woman is from the tribe. And again, this will be used to get at. And I can imagine a lot of white men will have this used against them. Because I can tell you now, imagine how gutting that would be. Your wife's depressed. She's hormonal. She's angry. You have an argument. And she does something like that. And you've decorated the baby's room. You've chosen a name. You started to put together the shortlist of guests who are going to be coming to the christening. You've been talking to your family about it for months. And she's had a little wobble and she's done something like this. Can you imagine how devastated that would leave somebody?
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe it's time we abort this topic. I don't mean to use the word lightly, though. But you have, and this is something I also wanted to get to, your latest video about journalists being laid off. How sorry should we feel for these journalists being laid off? You know, they were working hard as journalists.
Well, to quote Nelson Muntz, ha-ha. I can't do the Nelson laugh, but yes. I am laughing. These people deserve exactly what they are getting.
And was that a Simpsons reference there?
It was a Simpsons
reference. Ha ha!
That's it. That's much better than mine. Mine was the worst impression I've ever done. But these people deserve it. And we should be very happy that they are getting exactly what is coming to them.
So where are they being laid off from? What organizations?
They are being laid off from Huffington Post, and that organization is absolute trash. BuzzFeed, which actually might be even worse than Huffington Post. And finally, they are being laid off. Now, this is a new announcement. This is in the second set of layoffs. They are being laid off from Vice Media, who are the people who played a big part in getting Christopher Cantwell wrongly jailed.
And they also did a documentary, a pretty friendly documentary about General Butt Naked, the cannibal warlord of Libya who used to fight naked in their civil war. So this actually...
Wow. I didn't know that, but I do know they've done a couple of pro-pedophile articles as well.
Well, the General Butt Naked one is pretty interesting because he was a cannibal warlord who used to eat children, but he's a Christian minister now, so he's okay. You can talk to him. Dr. Duke, you wouldn't want to talk to, no. Some people are irredeemable, but, you know, cannibalism.
You can't have David Duke on your show, but you can have a naked cannibal that feasted on children.
Yeah, but anyway, so... With both the journalists and the issue we were talking about before, have they just gone so far? Because the Huffington Post really does go very far. BuzzFeed goes very, very far on issues. Have they gotten to the point where they're going so far? Maybe it's the natural destination of these movements. But are they going so far that they're a liability that people? Voters or whatnot are going to start looking at, you know, whether it's late-term abortion or the whole race thing that they push or so many of the other things that they push and say, oh, wait a minute here. This are they being laid off because they've become liabilities to the machine?
Let me explain why they're being laid off. They're being laid off quite simply because these people don't understand supply and demand. You see, their articles are all done on what's called a pay-per-click system. So advertisers choose to place adverts alongside their articles. And every time the advert is viewed or every time the advert is clicked on, the publisher gets a small amount of revenue. Now, that essentially means that these people only get paid when people go and view their articles. So if they've written some trash on how Halloween costumes are racist or how opening a door for a woman is a microaggression, no one wants to read that garbage. No one's interested. So people don't read the article. So the adverts placed on it don't get seen. And because they don't get seen, no one clicks on them. So the article doesn't make any money. It's really very, very simple. It's supply and demand. It's basic economics. You see, when there is a unprecedented supply of a product and service, but there is very small demand for that product and service, the market value of that product and service is extremely low, is through the floor, it's peanuts, and that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. There is no one who wants to, people don't want to read this trash, and they don't want to read this trash, so they don't read this trash, but because they're not reading it, all of a sudden, money isn't being made from it because no one's clicking on the advertisers. And I found it really, really funny because when I was researching this this short podcast, I kept seeing places this nonsense that pay-per-click isn't working. Revenue per click has let down these journalists. Journalists have been, you know, essentially screwed by this bad system that doesn't work. No, no, no. The system works. It just didn't have the outcome these journalists hoped for. Mm-hmm. And we know the system works. We know the system works because there are hundreds and thousands of bloggers, YouTubers, and people who produce content online that live off a pay-per-click system. Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say that a lot of the people who live off it and live off it very well aren't necessarily producing something that's really good for society. Right? A lot of it's
I'm not arguing that they are, Patrick, not at all. But yeah. What I'm saying is these journalists have completely bottomed out. They have completely failed to make ends meet. And they failed to make ends meet because ultimately no one wanted to read their rubbish.
Okay. Now, the Huffington Post has furloughed a whole bunch of their journalists, but they're still going to be, they're not going out of business, right? So BuzzFeed's not going out of business. Vice isn't going out of business, even though they've laid off journalists. But we saw in the last decade, or last couple of decades, lots and lots of print newspapers, for instance, lay off journalists, and then eventually shutter, close their operations, go bankrupt. And we're going to be going to the break in just a minute, but what I want to ask you about when we come back is, what are the prospects? Well, first of all, which divisions, which type of journalists at Huffington Post were the ones who were being laid off? And then can we expect in the future to see entire sites like the Huffington Post or BuzzFeed bite the dust and go the way of the local newspapers? So that's what I want to ask you when we come back from the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from...
The demise of the Huffington Post and these other worthless news sites.
I think we are. I think we're seeing it now. And they're obviously trying to make out that this isn't as bad as we're saying. You know, there's a lot of life left in them yet. But what we're going to see is an absolute trimming of these publications. Because when I say the Huffington Post has made cuts, the Huffington Post has cut, I believe it's their entire opinion section. So everyone who wrote for the opinion section of the Huffington Post is now unemployed. They're finished. They're done. It's game over. It's gone. And we're seeing similar things with BuzzFeed and now with Vice, because ultimately all of these papers, all of these organizations do need to make money. They do need to turn a profit, because the fact is, although they are ultimately the purveyors of both fake news and anti-white brainwashing and anti-white opinion and the drip, drip, drip of white guilt, they still have to make money. They still have to turn a profit. These organizations simply can't survive off goodwill. They can't survive off just anti-white hatred. You know, the anti-white hatred might burn inside them, but it doesn't pay the bills. It doesn't put the food on the table. And because of that, we are going to see a huge realignment of basically political journalism. And these organizations, like the HuffPo, they're not going to be around for much longer, because what they've done, they've expanded in the naive belief that that was always how it was going to be, that there was going to be forever expansion of this left-wing, liberal, anti-white journalism, and it was going to pay the bills forever. And quite frankly, now they are seeing the end of that. We are seeing the end times for this kind of publication, because the average Joe isn't reading it. They're not interested. The average Joe might not be coming out and saying exactly what they're thinking yet. They might still be nervous to voice the opinions that they actually have, but they're certainly awake enough now to start ignoring this anti-white garbage.
Okay, well, we are coming up pretty much to the end of the podcast. I want to let my listeners know that the Goyim's Choice Awards will be later this week. Whether it's going to be tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday, we don't know yet, but they will be coming up very, very soon. And then, Mark, you have your weekly live stream on Wednesday. What's going to be on? Who's going to be the guest this week?
Well, this week, it's fantastic. We've got a guy called John Mark. His YouTube channel is superb. I recommend to anyone, if you haven't listened to John Mark's material, go out there, listen to it. It is absolutely top-notch. You can't go wrong with that material.
Okay, and of course, your live stream and this program, actually, on Wednesdays, they're on at the same time. They're up against each other. I don't know if having the Goyim's Choice Awards go head-to-head with your live stream is completely kosher. And, of course, we will be broadcasting live from Hollywood. But I think I've found a way of being in two places at one time. So, you know, that's some new cutting-edge technology we have. But there's also the old technology of listening to my show either on the RBN archives. RBN does have archives for all these shows. You can listen to it in MP3 format, or going to my YouTube channel, Patrick Slattery YouTube channel, and everything gets recycled up there. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure as always.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.